No balls in one stride. The big right-hander ready and delivers. Swing and a ground ball to shortstop. Kim has it. Friendly hop. Throw to first. That is a no-hitter, and that is history. Joe Musgrove with the first no-hitter in Padre history. April 9th, 2021 at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. The kid comes home, and he gets it done.
You know, Padres still don't have a no-hitter in the first 20 years at Petco Park. That would be nice to get that done tonight. Check off that box, Joe, on the anniversary of your no-hitter 3 years ago. What? Yeah, I can't ask for a no-hitter, too.
Just get a win, for the love of God.
After a 0.8% chance comeback the night before, just follow that up with a no-no.
You greedy SD.
He's that guy.
I am that guy.
I would have liked to see the Padres win the World Series in '04.
I've seen a ton of people.
I just wish they weren't wearing those uniforms. I wish they were wearing these uniforms. I mean, that moment of them dogpiling on the mound after their first World Series, it's going to live forever.
They're in the
sand. I just don't like those uniforms. That's Ben.
I see a ton of people on our YouTube chat, on Twitter, after we played all the great calls, going, what about the Spanish call? What about it? We can't find it. Can someone send it to us, Eduardo's call? That I would love to hear it.
So there was a Twitter account that would always send them out, and we can't find them anywhere.
Well, it was the official Padres Spanish language account.
Wasn't it Los Padres?
Isn't that official? Yeah. But we didn't see it last night.
Yeah, Adam running the admin over there.
If anyone has it, just tag us on social media so we can find it. We'd love to play the Spanish call. We just could not find it last night. We don't have the access to the archives on that one.
We've talked about it now a couple times already this week. We want to play the Korean calls for every big moment this season. Literally, I want to play Eddie's as well. Edward Ortega is one of the greatest play-by-play men out there. And we are lucky enough to have him along with everybody else on the broadcast team. I want to play those.
I'd play the Korean calls of just double plays. I want to find out where I can watch the Korean broadcast in its entirety. I don't speak Korean, not a lick. But it was great. Yeah. So if anybody has any insight where we can find Eddie Ortega's call, please send him our way.
Happy to play.
Oh, God.
As you know, my opinion that Eddie,
he's the GOAT,
should be going into the broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame.
That should
be happening sooner rather than later. But hopefully before the end of the show, we'll find that and play that version as well. I did want to quickly, because you mentioned Robert Suarez and just the 14 pitches of gas in the eighth inning. And I mentioned Pedro Avila, after giving up four runs, coming back and throwing two more innings. Give Eniel De Los Santos and Wandy Peralta some of the credit for the win as well. When you score seven runs, the last thing that you really can afford in a comeback is then to give up runs right after that. And Eniel, really quick inning, 10-pitch inning. Wandy, 8-pitch inning. The Cubs never never got off the mat. Once the Padres kind of started their comeback, the Cubs could do nothing to stop it, and give credit to the Padres' bullpen for making it that way and getting the job done in a situation where the game was very much still in doubt and that comeback was not assured. And everyone had to play their part, and I wanted to give those guys some credit as well.
No question.
Yeah.
I mean, no question. The shutdown inning after it was Eniel De Los Santos. The shutdown inning that he had, I went, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Now, that's exactly what you needed. There was no messing around from the back end of the bullpen yesterday whatsoever. Yu Darvish is going to figure it out. Yu Darvish lost the plot with his release point. Ball looks like it was slipping out of his hands. I'm not worried about him figuring out what exactly went wrong. And again, I know Avila, you know, gave up four runs, but his fifth and sixth, I believe, Cade the side, he was fantastic. I mean, yeah, man, you're a mop-up guy. You're going in there to just get outs. And he got some really big ones when we needed it the most. And you can't say enough about the job Schilt did managing. Once they got in range, Ben, the guys went out and executed, too. It was beautiful.
Still a small sample size, but De Los Santos now 1.80 ERA.
Yep.
Peralta 1.59, Suarez 1.50.
That's starting to round into
form. All right, that's a 7th, 8th, 9th combination that you can feel pretty good about. For a bullpen that's been shaky in some of the other options, those guys are starting to emerge a little bit as reliable options for Mike Schilt.
Now, so what do you do if you're Mike Schilt today? Because we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about rejiggering the lineup. And when, when the lineup came out, I went, I'm like, he's like, hey, y'all want to change? You got it. And he moved Merrill up a spot. He split.
He flipped Profar and Kim. 5-6.
Yeah, that worked pretty well. Now do you ride with this. Now do you just keep rolling with that?
I think against righties and the way Profar has been hitting, that makes sense.
Who's,
I think
who's throwing today for
I
them?
I think against a lefty. They're going with a bullpen kind of game. Okay. I think it's Brown. Some he hasn't done well out of their bullpen, but it's like a spot emergency start. It was a TBD until yesterday. So, yeah, he's someone you want to kind of go after early, but you don't necessarily craft an entire lineup from a guy who might only be in for two or three innings. So we'll see. I'd say why not same lineup after what happened last night. I mean, Jackson Merrill, I'll continue with my argument from yesterday. He moved up one spot.
So he's like the eight hole.
It was, I think.
The two hole.
No, that's not how it works.
Oh, because I thought yesterday you said the nine hole was like the one.
It is.
So the eight would then be.
No, because the lineup is a circle, and that is not how it works.
Moron.
Skip, where am I hitting? Two. Oh, wow, crazy. Eight. Actually, but it's like
if you start at eight, that would make Tyler Wade your two hitter, which doesn't make a lot of sense at all in my lineup construction. But we'll see if they change the lineup or keep the lineup the same.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Hi, Jackson. He was on base for both of the home runs, by the way, Xander's and Tatis's.
One for three with a walk. His batting .324. His OPS is .864. Benjamin, kid looks pretty unfazed. Being on base for the two bombs is pretty clutch that late in the game. So, yeah, he's fairly unflappable right now.
Just want to, if you want to get online for Take on Woods here in a couple of minutes, 833-288-0973. Call in now. Play our game. Chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas in just a moment. Did also have the NCAA championship game. There's not a ton to say. UConn was the best team last year, won every game in March Madness by at least 13 points. UConn was the best team again this year and won every game in March Madness by at least 13 points. Had the 15-point win yesterday against Purdue. And give credit, the Boilermakers played their butts off in the first half. Zach Edey was terrific.
Was it tied at halftime?
No, it was a 6-point game, but it was tied late in the first half.
I checked it one time and was like, all right.
The UConn strategy, though, was basically mostly single coverage on Edey. Occasionally they went to the double team, but they knew he'd get his points, and they just made sure that no one else could hurt them. And Edey got 37, but no one else really did anything, and it was more than a good enough strategy to win that game.
UConn had a guy, Donovan Klingon?
Klingon, yeah.
7'2". He looked like a child.
Couldn't stop
up against Edey.
I thought 7'4", 300 pounds. I thought Klingon would do a better job stopping Edey. Edey was so good last night.
No, I loved UConn's strategy. They just said, look, Edey's going to score. He's going to do his thing. Nobody else is going to beat us, though. And, I mean, Edey had over half their points. Like, they really shut everyone else down. It's a good strategy. But Dan Hurley's an amazing coach.
But UConn did a good job when they did miss of getting enough rebounds, and they're just such a balanced team. They have no real stars. They're just all good players. The offense is so effective. They run it so well. And they're already co-favorites next year with Duke, with a chance to win three titles in a row. Sixth overall title. And I thought it was ironic, Purdue, really good team, considered number one, number two, pretty much all season long. And their score, the final score yesterday was 75-60. The final score last year, UConn SDSU, 76-59. It was 1 point off on each score. It was essentially UConn did the exact same thing this year they did last year. Just ran right through everybody in the tournament, including the championship game. That is so
impressive,
unbelievable.
Man.
Even some of the great teams in basketball history had to survive a buzzer beater, early in the tournament.
And what'd they lose? How many guys did they lose?
They lost a lot of guys. They were talking about that on the broadcast.
That's
what stood out the most to me. Like, they showed how dominant last year's team was.
Yeah.
And they go, this is a new team, and they're better. You're like, God dang.
Well, it's so nice to have a baseball team like that, right? You roll through everybody in the playoffs. Then you come in, you're like, these guys are actually better. To win another one?
There's talk that Kentucky may come try to poach Danny Hurley, and UConn's already pushing back. Like, we will do everything in our power to keep him.
Blank check.
Danny Hurley's in a very good spot right now.
You can get him that portable washing machine so that his wife no longer has to wash
his
man panties when they're on the road. It's unbelievable. I got a game. Get my ass together, please. She's back there.
He's a lunatic, though.
He's a lunatic.
They were up, what, 17 late in the game. He actually ran on the court and shoved one of his players during the game. Like, move!
They start going to the offense like it was a practice or something.
Like it was unreal. He thought they were in practice or something. The guy was just dribbling right in front of his own bench.
Like, go!
And
go!
He ran on the court and pushed him in the butt.
Shoves him. The ref goes, you can't do that. That's a turnover or something. I think it like invented the call. Like, what do you call when the coach just runs up and shoves one of his players? It wasn't a technical. We're just going to turn over to the other team. I have no idea what that is.
They called a timeout, and Zach Edey walked past him. He was on the opposite side of the court from their bench. Zach Edey, all 7'4", 300 pounds of him, walks by little Dan Hurley, and they exchanged words. They started talking to S. I'm like, what are you doing?
It was awesome. He's a loon.
He's crazy. Man, God, he's a good coach.
That's very impressive. Very impressive.
So congrats to the UConn Huskies on a second straight title.
I started riding them after.
They were a good bet all the way
really
through.
Really nice bet.
Covered every game, won and covered every single game.
And then some. I mean, just incredible.
Great. Good teams win championships. Great teams cover and win championships.
That's exactly right. Yeah, no buzzer beaters. Nothing really ever in doubt. So it's as a bettor, you're like, this game's too easy. I mean, it doesn't always work that way.
All right, I see we got some callers on the line. Let's get to it. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Woods.
Now, let's see. Billy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Billy, are you here to play Take on Woods?
I am.
All right. You are a contestant today. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. You are playing to try to qualify for the getaway to Las Vegas at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two nights, two tickets to Kool and the Gang. Their residency now through 2024. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Here are your categories today, Billy, for our musical trivia challenge. Chow time. Eat is the key word there. Light and dark. Those are five songs that include either the word light or dark in the title. And back to school. Those are all songs featuring school subjects. So chow time, light and dark, or back to school. What would you like to play?
In honor of the eclipse, we'll do light and dark.
All right,
and
light,
we'll give it to Woods, too.
Light and dark. Ooh. And Woods is getting the category. Ooh. Oh, Billy is feeling frisky on a Tuesday. All right, today I have five song titles that include either the word light or the word dark. 60 seconds. You can pass if you don't know one. First questions are 2 second song. Pauline going to play the music. You need to give me the title and the artist. Billy, I know you know how to play. Are you ready to go?
Ready.
Pauly, your ready. Status? Ready as well. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. The category, light and dark. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Billy. Let's take on Woods.
Light my fire, the Doors.
Correct. Future Friends star Courtney Cox appears in the music video for which Bruce Springsteen classic?
Dancing in the Dark.
Correct. Bruce Springsteen wrote which 1973 song that became a much bigger hit when Manfred Mann and his Earth Band covered it in 1977?
Blinded by the Light.
Correct. Which dance club staple by Madonna was the title track from her seventh album and is influenced by her late 90s study of Eastern mysticism and Kabbalah?
Cat.
Which 2013 Katy Perry hit features a trap hip-hop style and rapper Juicy J saying, uh-huh, let's rage over the distinctive opening music?
Oh, man.
They get tougher.
I'll have better luck with this Madonna one.
Okay. Dance club staple by Madonna, the title track from her seventh album, and is influenced by her late 90s study of Eastern mysticism and Kabbalah. You got a little confident. He did get three, though. Got the first three, Light My Fire by the Doors, Dancing in the Dark, and Blinded by the Light. Ray of Light is the Madonna song.
I think that's where it's going to come down to.
Yeah, I do,
I
too.
I promise you, Wood's not getting
Dark
Katie
Horse,
Perry.
You'd know it is the Katy Perry song, and everyone would know it if they heard it, but do they? I didn't know the title of it, and that surprised me as well. And I don't think Woods is going to get that one, so I agree. It's going to come down to that song. All right, Billy's score is locked in.
Billy,
feeling confident, wants you to know the category today. So, Woods, your category is light and dark.
Okay. Light and dark.
Those words will appear in all the song titles.
Okay, light and dark.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Billy.
The Doors, Light My Fire.
Correct. Future friend star Courtney Cox appears in the music video for which Bruce Springsteen...
Dancing in the Dark.
Correct. Bruce Springsteen wrote which 1973 song that became a much bigger hit when Manfred Mann and his Earth Band covered it in 1977?
Pass.
Which dance club staple by Madonna was the title track from her seventh album and is influenced by her late 90s study of Eastern mysticism and Kabbalah?
Something light. I know this song. Come back to it.
Which 2013 Katy Perry hit features a trap hip-hop style and rapper Juicy J saying, uh-huh, let's rage, over the distinctive opening music?
Pass. Go back to
Bruce Springsteen wrote which 1973 song that became a much bigger hit when Manfred Mann and his Earth Band covered it in 1977.
I think I'm toast. It's not Blinded by the Light.
It is. Oh. Correct. Which dance club staple by Madonna was the title track from her seventh album influenced by her late 90s study of Eastern mysticism and Kabbalah?
I love this song.
You need it.
I love it. I love this song. Light.
Oh. People Will Come. Ray of Light.
I love that song. Love it.
Dark Horse is the tough one by Katy Perry. You'd know if you heard it. 3-3. A tie, which is good enough to qualify. Billy, hang on the line. Paulie, I'll get your information. You are in
the
drawing for Las Vegas.
So good.
That is a good Madonna song. You're correct.
There's like 10 Madonna songs I love.
And I promise you'd know Dark Horse if you heard it, but I didn't know the title.
I don't know that you would.
Really? You think? What sometimes surprises me on...
Not a big Katy Perry.
How little
Katy Perry fan, actually. Her music, I've not...
Somehow,
she's saying
maybe it's because my kids are older. Yeah. That I have heard more of these last 10 year songs from the pop side than you have.
My kids listen to Black Sabbath though. Right. They're 6 and 3.
I know. My kids actually listen to the music of
their generation.
Last 10 years of that generation. So right. I've heard some of it at least for a while.
All right. So you just said I cubsed that one.
I did.
I cubsed that one. You really cubbed it. I don't want to get too cocky. We need to win today. Win a series. I'm not going to get too cocky.
It's a long season.
I've got a whole bunch of tweets ready to go.
For don't do this?
No, if they win today.
Yeah, there probably could be an entire segment of don't do this on people's tweets. I already have forgiven everyone.
Yeah, everyone's been given a pass.
So we won't go that direction on don't do this. I do have an update on, remember Chiefs burglar?
Yeah.
Chiefs burglar.
I thought he was in prison now.
No, not. They're still in the court case on him, so we can give you an update there. More when we come back with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You're a dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Get back to our Padres talk. If you want to join us and get online, 833-288-0973. Take some phone calls here after that comeback win last night. Right now, though, it's time for Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today, thecrafttaco.com.
We got to get Paulie out there with us the next time we go.
Yeah, it's staggering. Were you sick last time? Why did you miss the tacos? You might have been under the weather.
It's staggeringly good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Staggeringly good.
I'll start out Don't Do This today with an update on Xavier Babudar, better known as Chiefsaholic. He's the super Chiefs fan who was convicted in a string of bank robberies in Oklahoma and Kansas, and is currently sitting in Leavenworth Federal Prison.
Leavenworth.
In Kansas.
Wow.
A judge yesterday ordered Babudar, Chiefsaholic, to pay $10.8 million to a Bixby, Oklahoma teller he threatened with a gun back in December of 2022. So he is facing the music. Now, the attorney for the woman, Frank Frazier, acknowledged it'll be very challenging to collect that money, as Babudar was unemployed and living in cars at the time of his crime. And I think they collected all of his, you know, ill-gotten gains from the robbery. So he can't use that to pay off the woman. That's not how it works. So unfortunately, Babudar's attorney, Matthew Merriman, did not respond drew a request for comment. And I was really hoping he would, because if you'll remember when we first brought up this story, Matthew Merriman was the attorney who decided that the best legal strategy to was go to the Scott Boras School of Puns in defending his client. This was Matthew
From
Merriman.
The beginning of this case, folks, the government has been blitzing. And Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure.
He did.
He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up.
I forgot how much I hated this.
I know. Humble and repentant.
Repentant.
And admitted what he had done.
He's repentant.
Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chief's Kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic, we know that he doesn't give up. We know that if he stumbled and he fell, he didn't let his knee touch the ground.
Oh my God. I can't. I'm done. And that's why I'm asking you, good people of this jury, to not put him in prison, but to just give him a 2-minute warning.
Right. Yeah. 2-minute warning for the young man.
Jesus, he's in Leavenworth right now.
Leavenworth is one of those prisons I've always heard about, and I've
scary sounding.
Scares you. Rikers Island.
Ooh.
Leavenworth.
Alcatraz.
I've
done a tour of Alcatraz. German mountain town in Washington.
Yes,
where
it's
I grew
not
up.
Where the prison is. It's like
Kansas.
It's like Solvang, but in Washington with actual snow sometimes.
Yeah, like I hear that, and I forget that it's also a gnarly prison.
Some really gnarly prison.
Yeah.
Speaking of gnarly, I don't know. If I had a match, a game, and ISIS threatened to do something to it, I don't know that I'd be super fired up to play. That's exactly what's happening right now. European football's governing body, UEFA, said it's aware of a terror threat made regarding this week's Champions League quarterfinal matches. The matches will still go on as planned. They're going to get these games in. A social media post purporting to be from ISIS suggested it planned to attack the Champions League quarterfinal this week. Ben, so France has, they're going to have 2,000 extra security personnel in Spain. They're going to increase police presence in Paris. They did say, we are aware of alleged terrorist threats made towards this week's UEFA Champions League matches. We're closely liaising with the authorities at the respective venues. All matches are planned to go ahead, scheduled with appropriate security arrangements in place. Adam says, hey, you got an appearance this weekend at Pep Boys. I mean, Valvoline Instant Oil Change. ISIS said they may be coming through. Am I going?
I don't know. I mean, they never tell you where they're going to hit before they actually hit it. I think if anywhere's actually been threatened, it's probably the safest place on Earth.
Maybe.
It's like a misdirection. Like you, it's. I mean, you don't say where you're going to commit a crime before you commit a crime.
It's ISIS, though.
I'm going to rob this bank on Tuesday, just letting everybody know in a tweet beforehand. No one does that. Once they've said it, it's pretty much empty threat time, right?
I hope so. I hope so.
Obviously.
Can't be a comfortable...
hope everybody's safe.
Can't be a comfortable situation. But I hope everybody comes through this.
The terror is just threatening, just to make everyone now
terrified.
Nervous and terrified. It's horrible. It's awful. But I'm hopefully... they've done their due diligence and everyone will be just fine.
Yep.
All right, speaking of soccer, a little doo-doo this.
Oh, and I have a second doo-doo this.
Oh, you have a second one.
Mega doo-doo.
Well, let me give a doo-doo this to the San Diego Sockers for coming through last night. Not only did they need to win to avoid MASL playoff elimination against the Texas Outlaws at Pechanga Arena, they had to win, and then they had to win a second mini game afterwards, a tiebreaker. They won the first game 8-3. And then they won the second minigame tiebreaker 4-0 and advanced in the MASL playoffs to the Final Four. They will take on Chihuahua in another little best of two series. I think April 18th at Chihuahua and then April 21st back at Pechanga Arena as they go for the 18th title, indoor title in San Diego Soccer Club history. Craig had some great calls last night, and I'm sure he'll be in a very good mood when he comes in at 10 a.m. this morning with Annie for Annie and Elston.
And Paul, you have something else?
Yeah, for doo-doo this. I think the doo-doo this goes to, let's see, Turb44 in our YouTube chat. He let me know the exact time that if I go to MLB TV, They also do provide, I forgot, they provide the Spanish broadcast in its entirety.
Oh, like an alternate channel broadcast. Yes.
And he gave me the exact time to queue up Fernando Tatis Jr.'s home run as called by the great Eduardo Ortega.
So the tiros at home, al Solai.
Tatis con un swing le da la vuelta al juego. Al lanzamiento. La prendió por el izquierdo. Vuela la bola. Le va a dar la vuelta. ¡Va! ¡Va! ¡Tatis! ¡A la calle! Ahí viene por segunda, por tercera. El pasito guapachoso. Dando rumbo a home la vuelta. Los Padres al comando se van arriba. 9-8. ¡Qué juego!
No, unbelievable. Da, da, da.
God, he's good.
That's my favorite.
So good. So
thank
good.
You. Love that me. Is yeah, definitely a do this.
Thank you, Turby, in
and
the chat.
Don't do this on a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, I want to open the phone lines. Come on, Padres fans. We want to hear from you this morning. 833-288-0973. Give us a call. Your feelings after last night's come-from-behind win. Just talking some Padres baseball with the great Tier 1s this morning on Ben and Woods. Be right back with more here on 97.3 The Fan. I promise, I'm not trying to shame anyone for tuning out or leaving early. I'm just curious for people who truly, truly turned the game off last night at 8-0. I just want to know how you found out. Like, was it an alert on your phone? Did it not happen until this morning? Did someone call you and wake you up? To me, it's just a fascinating case study. It's a baseball season. It's 162 games. There are very few people, Woods, who watch every inning of 162 games. If you're not a broadcaster or a player or employed by the team, even the most diehard of fans, you got a wedding, you got something. You have to check your score, your phone, every couple innings for a game. Not everybody watches everything. And if you're going to punt on three or four innings, down 8-0 in April is a pretty good time to punt on a couple of innings of the baseball season.
I couldn't agree more. And yesterday was one of those days where I was finding myself going, let's go. What's taking so long to get to 640, right? Like getting the kids home and all that and eating and getting them bathed and everything else. And I'm like, man, I sat down finally. It was like 4:30. I'm like, I still got 2 hours for this game. And then to come out like that, I was on the precipice of just, boop, I'm out of here. But I don't know why. Honestly, I stayed up. I took my Ambien pretty early after it was 8-0. And I had to fighting through that scene. Fighting through that scene, like watching that game.
No, I don't want to go. Like, oh, no, it's exciting.
This is so good. And then you're worried after it's over. You know, after it's over, you're like, I can't sleep now.
I've never thought of that phenomenon of taking a sleeping pill, essentially, and then realizing, I don't want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't want to go to sleep.
Yeah, it was incredible.
All right, we've got full phone lines right now, 833-288-0973. We're going to get out to our Tier 1s right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Ropey in the chat has found out this morning hearing Woodsy on YouTube. Like, you turn on the show thinking, oh, these guys are going to light into this team. And you hear just Woods screaming.
You saw me tweet last night, Foreplay is canceled. There was no way I was going to come in today after an 8-0 loss. At the time, it was 8-0.
Right.
And I'm like, this is getting worse. There was no way I was going to come in and be like, so, hey, what did you guys think about blah, blah, blah? And I just said, I'm dropping hammer.
You were right, though. Foreplay was canceled.
Foreplay
this
ended
morning.
Up being canceled anyway, but for a much better reason. Much better reason. I was hot yesterday.
All right, let's
hot.
Go out and take some of these calls from the Tier 1s. Start at the top there with Alec. Good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Alec.
Morning. How are we?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. I mean, what a game yesterday. That was something, man. First, I want to start off by saying Jackson Merrill, man, what a year he's having coming up, 20 years old, and he looks like a veteran at the plate.
He does.
I mean, he might be up there with the Tatis is who I want to see most coming up to the dish.
You feel like you're going to get from him a really good AB, you know, and I'm looking right now. It's funny you say that. A guy by the name of Eric Cross He is a fantasy baseball writer. Got about 42,000 followers. He knows what he's talking about. Posted his sliders, you know, on StatCast. Ben, I mean, it's damn near all red. Other than Chase, he still chases a little bit, but other than that, man, like, he's barreling it. His expected batting average is huge.
And
you know,
I wanted to bring up that Chase because he has such good bat to ball and hand skills. He had one where I think it was in the at-bat where he did strike out, but there was a back foot slider, like just devastating. No way you don't strike out on the pitch, and he swung at it, and somehow he fouled it off.
Yes.
Like, how did you even touch that pitch? He is so good at getting the bat to the ball. It really is impressive. Alec, you had another point as well?
Yeah. Yes. I just want to talk about this win and how big it is for the team. I mean, at the end of the day, it's one win. It's one game. It's a one-run win. But, I mean, it's so much more. This is something that the team's going to hang their hat on, the coaches, the fans, all season long. Circle it, highlight it, star it. We're going to keep coming back and look at this game over and over this season, and I cannot emphasize how big of a win this was for the San Diego Padres.
You know, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, I mean, it's it definitely hopes so. And you did feel like a... I certainly had it. We hit him pretty good yesterday, and you know, Boomer Woods definitely came out. Boy, he jammed it right down my throat, didn't he? I'll wear it. I don't care.
Can you wear the cleats? The cleats are good now.
He can always wear the cleats. It wasn't exactly just him. I like wins. It's hard after losses to be like, hey, here's a new belt that I'm selling. You know what I mean? It's tough.
He's doing it before the game though.
And it's not, like I said, it ain't just him.
Boomer Woods has turned green in our YouTube chat again. So I will say, you know, and be a voice of reason. Of course, in every great season, like the 98 Padres, I remember an early April Steve Finley grand slam to win a game, obviously, in 2022 when they went to the NLCS. You had the Jorge Alfaro walk-offs early. There are always those games early in the season, in memorable great seasons, where when you play the highlight reel of the season, this is kind of where it started. And could this be one of those games? Absolutely. I can see a universe in which, you know, in November, after however the Padres, however well they do and get to the playoffs and make a run of some sort, that we're playing this highlight is like, man, this was great. But there are also teams that have great moments early in the season and go on and don't do anything.
100%.
Later in the year. It's just the reality of baseball.
It is. And, you know, but again, doing something, accomplishing something that you haven't really done as a team together gives you the peace of mind to know we can do it. We've done it before. We can do it again. It doesn't guarantee you one damn thing. They could go out and lose 7-0 today because this game is very stupid. It's very, very stupid. It doesn't make sense. And honestly, like, not to pound like gambling home or anything like that, Ben, but there are times you look at things in baseball and you go, okay, we've got our ace on the mound. They're doing a bullpen day. Feel pretty good about the way that the guys are swinging the bats. I'm put a little money on this. Go out and the ace gives up 5 runs in the first inning. It's just, that's this stupid game that we all love so much. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And I don't know anyone that tries to prognosticate this game shouldn't last year have taught you that. Shouldn't last year have taught you that you just can't call it. No one had the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. And if you said you did, you're probably full of it. No,
but you can sometimes.
That.
I mean, you call the Dodgers winning 100 games and winning the division. I mean, if you truly take care of business, you can call some things.
Very broad strokes, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Very broad strokes.
Like, will the Dodgers make the playoffs? The answer is yes.
Yes.
They're going to make the playoffs, right? I mean, other than that, you know, maybe. But here's the thing.
Didn't we say that about the Padres last year? They're going to make the playoffs.
I thought the Red Sox were going to be 0-9. They look really, really good. I mean, they're playing their hearts out right now. They're starting pitching's good. Their bullpen that was supposed to be a turd, they're pitching great again.
There's as many surprises as there are sure things in baseball.
Yeah, for sure.
Occasionally the sure things come through.
Way more. There's way more surprises than there are sure things.
We'll see. Hopefully there's some pleasant surprises in store as well. Let's go to Nick next up here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
Nicky, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Hey, I'll keep it super brief. I got a couple things. First one,
apologize to the YouTube chat for my technical difficulties. That's on me. Not sure what's going on. I was at the game last night, and a couple things really stood out. The first one was the Cronenworth caught stealing.
Yeah.
Amaya with an unbelievable pick and throw. I was like, holy smokes, we can't catch a break. And then we got Tyler Wade jumping out of the way of a 2-2 pitch. And I know it's not college ball, but I'm like, dude, we're chasing eight. I need you to wear that ball in the ribs.
You need to be on.
And, you know, I'm sitting there going, it's the same old Padres. Holy smokes. And then Jake Cronenworth just refusing to quit. That at bat was so fun to watch. And then he sends it almost to the second deck.
Yeah.
You could just feel it. You could feel it like, hey, maybe it is different. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, we're only chasing one. Rest is history.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was an awesome. I'm glad you got to go to that game. It was pretty special. But yeah, I mean, again, it means absolutely nothing to today other than the mood of the team. Let's be honest, the mood of the city fan base, everyone is feeling much, much better. It's not something that happens all the time. They went out, if they go out and win that game 5-4, cool. It's awesome, man. We needed to get that dub. To be down 8, to come back, it just doesn't happen in baseball all that much.
And to tell you the truth, more important than the good feelings of a exciting comeback win, the way that Jake Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill have both looked at the plate, if they hold on to that, that's way more important than one victory in a season. We both said in spring training, two guys who are going to determine a lot of whether the Padres can be successful and surprise some people. They need Jake to have a good season.
Which, again, I said yesterday, is unfair. It's massively unfair for this fan base to put anything on Jake Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill, who combined make, what, $11 million combined. We have our priorities in the wrong place, I think. And again, Tyler Wade, you know, Nick's calling out Tyler Wade for not wearing one. I get that. These are not the guys that are supposed to be doing it. They're just not. And I'm not going to ride Eggy Rosario very hard. I'm not going to ride Graham Pauly, who's had 15 ABs, very hard. I'm not going to ride Tyler Wade very hard. It's Manny, it's Xander, it's Toddy. And two of those three, I said last night, Star's got to do Star stuff, and they did. But, and we win that ball game because of it.
Yeah, true. But what makes baseball so unpredictable is Jake. What did he do? I mean, he's been working hard the last couple of years, moved his hands a little bit, right. You know, and all of a sudden now he's back to what he was a couple of years ago. I hope that holds. And Jackson Merrill, you're not supposed to be able to do this at age 20.
He doesn't know that, though. So let's not tell him.
I'm not going to. Don't worry.
he does not need to know. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And it's like,
it's more 100%. Than fair to be skeptical. Like, no, that it's not going to hold. That's not going to last. You can't do that at age 20. But he certainly looks like he can right now.
That's I want to make that clear that, you know, if somebody makes a bonehead mistake, you know, a Tyler Wade makes a bonehead mistake, well, that's a bonehead mistake that a guy that hasn't been the, you know, most productive player in his career, he's found a way to stick, though, for some reason. He can help you. He can help this team win. In my opinion, he's a really good guy to throw in off the bench in the eighth inning when you need a bag or something. That's fantastic. But getting starts and things like that, That's not on him, man. That's not his role. So I'm not going to ride those guys too hard. A lot of guys are playing out of position. A lot of guys are getting opportunities, and they're making the most of them, which is awesome. But it doesn't fall on their shoulder.
I also do want to point out that if there is one seed of negativity, the Padres are now getting nothing right now out of their third base offensive slot. Yesterday, all three of them played. Wade, Rosario, Pauly, 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts. I think Pauly popped out on his at-bat. After a hot start, Tyler Wade's cooled off. Eggy had the one home run but has done nothing, and Pauly had the one home run and has done nothing else. I don't know. I mean, Manny will be back at third, but those guys can't be your DH once Manny is back at third base. I've said this before. No. I will reiterate it. It is right now turning into a black hole. Wherever you put them, 9th, 8th, 7th, doesn't matter. They're not getting anything out of that spot. And to me, AJ has to do something about that position. And it's likely going to be DH, and maybe you just be patient until Manny's back, because there's no reason to sign a third baseman when you got Manny coming back. But you will need a designated hitter by the end of the month. And I'd hate to lose out on one of the guys who's available you know, yeah, I think you need to act sooner rather than later there.
Yeah.
And Pauly needs at bats in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
It's not working right now.
Go tear it up, you know, go tear it up down there. And I support that fully. But again, if you went out and signed Brandon Belt today, where does he play tonight?
Not tonight, but when Manny's back, I know exactly right. Where he plays.
Well, if you signed Tommy Pham today, Jerickson's playing pretty well, you know, so do you...
You can wait a couple more weeks until Manny's back, but they might not be there either.
Because other teams need some
help,
too.
You could also sign someone and give them, you know, a week in the minors to start swinging and getting into shape for when Manny is back. And he is trending. He was throwing yesterday.
Yep.
Throwing from third to first again for the first time since we were back there at spring training for the first couple of days.
Yep.
Seems like the arm's feeling better. And, you know, hopefully Manny will be back at third. But when he is, you need one more player on this team. Unless you think it's Jacob Marcy, who is still swinging it, I think, pretty well in the minor leagues. But I don't know that you want to make him your designated hitter. Jerickson could do it. I mean, if you sign Tommy Pham,
yeah.
Jerickson could be your DH and Tommy Pham could play left, or they could split time and left. But to me, you're still one player short here of whatever you're going to be eventually. And I don't know if that means you're one player short of winning a World Series. You're one player short of being the most complete version that this team is going to be this season. And whatever the potential is, it's going to be greater with one more player that I think you do need. I know it's still a small sample size, and they want to give some of the young guys a chance. But Tyler Wade's not one of the young guys they want to give a chance. He's not. He's not a prospect.
No.
Graham Pauly is, but he's not getting a chance. He's getting three at-bats a week, maybe. He needs to start playing in the minor leagues every day. It's time. It's time to make the move, whatever it's going to be. I don't think you're going to regret adding one more bat at this point. I've seen enough.
Tommy says move Campy to DH. Well, yeah, then Higgy's catching and also in the lineup, too.
I'd like to see Sullivan up, but again, his numbers in AAA are almost certainly a mirage and not sustainable on the big league level.
Yeah.
And he's not an everyday catcher either.
Correct.
Campusano is your everyday catcher. Correct. I would love for him to be able to DH on the days that he's not catching at least once in a while, but Campy's your catcher. Yeah. They need one more player.
They do.
All right, we'll come back. We got 2 hours still to go. Jesse Agler is going to be with us. We also are going to give away some Padres tickets to tomorrow's Manny Machado bobblehead giveaway game. Last game of the series against the Cubs. It is all coming up. Do not go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. I promise, I'm not trying to shame anyone for tuning out or leaving early. I'm just curious for people who truly, truly turned the game off last night at 8-0. I just want to know how you found out. Like, was it an alert on your phone? Did it not happen until this morning? Did someone call you and wake you up? To me, it's just a fascinating case study. It's a baseball season. It's 162 games. There are very few people, Woods, who watch every inning of 162 games. If you're not a broadcaster or a player or employed by the team, even the most diehard of fans, you got a wedding, you got something. You have to check your score, your phone, every couple innings for a game. Not everybody watches everything. And if you're going to punt on three or four innings, down 8-0 in April is a pretty good time to punt on a couple of innings of the baseball season.
I couldn't agree more. And yesterday was one of those days where I was finding myself going, let's go. What's taking so long to get to 6:40, right? Like getting the kids home and all that and eating and getting them bathed and everything else. And I'm like, man, I sat down finally. It was like 4:30. I'm like, I still got 2 hours for this game. And then to come out like that, I was on the precipice of just, boop, I'm out of here. But I don't know why. Honestly, I stayed up. I took my Ambien pretty early after it was 8-0. And I had to fighting through that scene. Fighting through that scene, like watching that game.
No, I don't want to go. Like, oh, no, it's exciting.
This is so good. And then you're worried after it's over. You know, after it's over, you're like, I can't sleep now.
I've never thought of that phenomenon of taking a a sleeping pill, essentially, and then realizing, I don't want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't want to go to sleep.
Yeah, it was incredible.
All right, we've got full phone lines right now, 833-288-0973. We're going to get out to our Tier 1s right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Ropey in the chat says, found out this morning hearing Woodsy on YouTube. Like, you turn on the show thinking, oh, these guys are going to light into this team. Oh. And you hear just Woods screaming.
You saw me tweet last night, Foreplay is canceled. There was no way I was going to come in today after at minimum an 8-0 loss. At the time, it was 8-0.
Right.
And I'm like, this is getting worse. And there was no way I was going to come in and be like, so, hey, what did you guys think about blah, blah, blah? And I just said, I'm dropping hammer.
You were right, though. Foreplay was canceled.
Foreplay
this
ended
morning.
Up being canceled anyway, but for a much better reason. Much better reason. I was hot yesterday.
All right, let's
hot.
Go out and take some of these calls from the Tier 1s. Start at the top there with Alec. Good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Alec.
Morning. How are we?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. I mean, what a game yesterday. That was something, man. First, I want to start off by saying Jackson Merrill, man, what a year he's having coming up, 20 years old, and he looks like a veteran at the plate.
He does.
I mean, he might be up there with the Tatis is who I want to see most coming up to the dish.
You feel like you're going to get from him a really good AB, you know, and I'm looking right now. It's funny you say that. A guy by the name of Eric Cross. He is a fantasy baseball writer, got about 42,000 followers. He knows what he's talking about. Posted his sliders, you know, on StatCast. Ben, I mean, it's damn near all red other than Chase. He still chases a little bit, but other than that, man, like, he's barreling it. His expected batting average is huge.
And
you know,
I wanted to bring up that Chase because he has such good bat-to-ball and hand skills. He had one where I think it was in the at-bat where he did strike out, but there was a back foot slider, like, just devastating. No way you don't strike out on the pitch, and he swung at it, and somehow he fouled it off.
Yes.
Like, how did you even touch that pitch? He is so good at getting the bat to the ball. It really is impressive. Alec, you had another point as well?
Yes, I just want to talk about this win and how big it is for the team. I mean, at the end of the day, it's one win. It's one game. It's a one-run win. But, I mean, it's so much more. This isn't something that the team's going to hang their hat on, the coaches, the fans, all season long. Circle it, highlight it, star it. We're going to keep coming back and look at this game over and over this season, and I cannot emphasize how big of a win this was for the San Diego Padres.
You know, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, I mean, it's it definitely hopes so. And you did feel like a... I certainly had it. We hit him pretty good yesterday. And, you know, Boomer Woods definitely came out. Boy, he jammed it right down my throat, didn't he? I'll wear it. I don't care.
Can you wear the cleats? The cleats are good now?
He can always wear the cleats. It wasn't exactly just him. I like wins. It's hard after losses to be like, hey, here's a new belt that I'm selling. You know what I mean? It's tough.
He's doing it before the game, though.
Both. And it's not, like I said, it ain't just him.
Boomer Woods has turned green in our YouTube chat again. So I will say, you know, and be a voice of reason. Of course, in every great season, like the 98 Padres, I remember an early April Steve Finley grand slam to win a game, obviously, in 2022 when they went to the NLCS. You had the Jorge Alfaro walk-offs early. There are always those games early in the season, in memorable great seasons, where when you play the highlight reel of the season, this is kind of where it started. And could this be one of those games? Absolutely. I can see a universe in which, you know, in November, after however the Padres, however well they do and get to the playoffs and make a run of some sort, that we're playing this highlight is like, man, this was great. But there are also teams that have great moments early in the season and go on and don't do anything.
100%.
Later in the year. It's just the reality of baseball.
It is. And, you know, but again, doing something, accomplishing something that you haven't really done as a team together gives you the peace of mind to know we can do it. We've done it before. We can do it again. It doesn't guarantee you one damn thing. They could go out and lose 7-0 today because this game is very stupid. It's very, very stupid. It doesn't make sense. And honestly, like, not to pound like gambling home or anything like that, Ben, but there are times you look at things in baseball and you go, okay, we've got our ace on the mound. They're doing a bullpen day. Feel pretty good about the way that the guys are swinging the bats. I'm going to put a little money on this. Go out and the ace gives up five runs in the first inning. It's just, that's this stupid game that we all love so much. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And I don't know anyone that tries to prognosticate this game shouldn't last year have taught you that. Shouldn't last year have taught you that you just can't call it. No one had the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. And if you said you did, you're probably full of it. No,
but you can sometimes.
That.
I mean, you call the Dodgers winning 100 games and winning the division. I mean, if you truly take care of business, you can call some things.
Very broad strokes, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Very broad strokes.
Like, will the Dodgers make the playoffs? The answer is yes.
Yes.
They're going to make the playoffs, right? I mean, other than that, you know,
maybe.
But here's the thing.
Didn't we say that about the Padres last year? They're going to make the playoffs.
I thought the Red Sox were going to be 0-9. They look really, really good. I mean, they're playing their hearts out right now. They're starting pitching's good. Their bullpen that was supposed to be a turd, they're pitching great again.
There's as many surprises as there are sure things in baseball.
Yeah, for sure.
Occasionally things come through.
Way more. There's way more surprises than there are sure things.
We'll see. Hopefully there's some pleasant surprises in store as well. Let's go to Nick next up here. On Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
Nicky, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Hey, I'll keep it super brief. I got a couple things. First one, apologize to the YouTube chat for my technical difficulties. That's on me. Not sure what's going on. I was at the game last night, and a couple things really stood out. The first one was the Cronenworth caught stealing.
Yeah.
Amaya with an unbelievable pick and throw. I was like, holy smokes, we can't catch a break. And then we got Tyler Wade jumping out of the way of a 2-2 pitch. And I know it's not college ball, but I'm like, dude, we're chasing eight. I need you to wear that ball in the rib.
You need to be on.
And, you know, I'm sitting there going, it's the same old Padres. Holy smokes. And then Jake Cronenworth just refusing to quit. That at bat was so fun to watch. And then he sends it almost to the second deck.
Yeah.
You can just feel it. You could feel it like, hey, maybe it is different. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, we're only chasing one. Rest is history.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was an awesome. I'm glad you got to go to that game. It was pretty special. But, yeah, I mean, again, it means absolutely nothing to today other than the mood of the team. Let's be honest. The mood of the city and base, everyone is feeling much, much better. It's not something that happens all the time. They went out. If they go out and win that game 5-4, cool. That's awesome, man. We needed to get that dub. To be down 8, to come back, it just doesn't happen in baseball all that much.
And to tell you the truth, more important than the good feelings of a exciting comeback win, the way that Jake Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill have both looked at the plate, if they hold on to that, that's way more important than one victory in a season. We both said in spring training, two guys who are going to determine a lot of whether the Padres can be successful and surprise some people. They need Jake to have a good season.
Which, again, I said yesterday, is unfair. It's massively unfair for this fan base to put anything on Jake Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill, who combined make, what, $11 million combined. We have our priorities in the wrong place, I think. And, again, Tyler Wade, you know, Nick's calling out Tyler Wade for not wearing one. I get that. These are not the guys that are supposed to be doing it. They're just not. And I'm not going to ride Eggy Rosario very hard. I'm not going to ride Graham Pauly, who's had 15 ABs, very hard. I'm not going to ride Tyler Wade very hard. It's Manny, it's Xander, it's Toddy. And two of those three, I said last night, Star's got to do Star stuff, and they did. And we win that ball game because of it.
Yeah, true. But what makes baseball so unpredictable is Jake. What did he do? I mean, he's been working hard the last couple of years, moved his hands a little bit,
right.
You know, and all of a sudden now he's back to what he was a couple of years ago. I hope that holds. And Jackson Merrill, you're not supposed to be able to do this at age 20.
He doesn't know that, though. So let's not tell him.
I'm not going to. Don't worry.
he does not need to know. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And it's like,
it's more 100%. Than fair to be skeptical. Like, no, that it's not going to hold. That's not going to last. You can't do that at age 20. But he certainly looks like he can right now.
That's and I really I want to make that clear that You know, if somebody makes a bonehead mistake, you know, a Tyler Wade makes a bonehead mistake, well, that's a bonehead mistake that a guy that hasn't been the, you know, most productive player in his career. He's found a way to stick, though, for some reason. He can help you. He can help this team win. In my opinion, he's a really good guy to throw in off the bench in the eighth inning when you need a bag or something. That's fantastic. But getting starts and things like that, that's not on him, man. That's not his role. So I'm not going to ride those guys too hard. A lot of guys are playing out of position. A lot of guys are getting opportunities, and they're making the most of them, which is awesome. But it doesn't fall on their shoulder.
I also do want to point out that if there is one seed of negativity, the Padres are now getting nothing right now out of their third base offensive slot. Yesterday, all three of them played. Wade, Rosario, Pauly, 0-for-4, three strikeouts. I think Pauly popped out on his at-bat. After a hot start, Tyler Wade's cooled off. Eggy had the one home run but has done nothing, and Pauly had the one home run and has done nothing else. I don't know. I mean, Manny will be back at third, but those guys can't be your DH once Manny is back at third base. I've said this before. No. I will reiterate it. It is right now turning into a black hole. Wherever you put them, ninth, eighth, seventh, doesn't matter. They're not getting anything out of that spot. And to me, AJ has to do something about that position. And it's likely going to be DH, and maybe you just be patient until Manny's back, because there's no reason to sign a third baseman when you got Manny coming back. But you will need a designated hitter by the end of the month. And I'd hate to lose out on one of the guys who's available. You know, yeah, I think you need to act sooner rather than later there.
Yeah. And
Pauly needs at bats in the minor leagues.
Yeah,
it's not working right now.
Go tear it up. You know, go tear it up down there. And I support that fully. But again, if you went out and signed Brandon Belt today, where does he play tonight?
Not tonight, but when Manny's back, I know exactly
right
where he plays.
Well, if you signed Tommy Pham today, Jerickson's playing pretty well, you know, so do you.
Yeah, you can wait a couple more weeks until Manny's back, but they might not be there.
Because other teams need some
help.
You
can also sign someone and give them, you know, a week in the minors to start swinging and getting into shape for when Manny is back. And he is trending. He was throwing yesterday.
Yep.
Throwing from third to first again for the first time since we were back there at spring training for the first couple of days.
Yep.
Seems like the arm's feeling better. And, you know, hopefully Manny will be back at third. But when he is, you need one more player on this team. Unless you think it's Jacob Marcy, who is still swinging and I think pretty well in the minor leagues, but I don't know that you want to make him your designated hitter. Jerickson could do it. I mean, if you sign Tommy Pham,
yeah,
Jerickson could be your DH and Tommy Pham could play left, or they could split time in left. But to me, you're still one player short here of whatever you're going to be eventually. And I don't know if that means you're one player short of winning a World Series. You're one player short of being the most complete version that this team is going to be this season. And whatever the potential is, it's going to be greater with one more player that I think you do need. I know it's still a small sample size, and they want to give some of the young guys a chance. But Tyler Wade's not one of the young guys they want to give a chance. He's not. He's not a prospect.
No.
Graham Pauly is, but he's not getting a chance. He's getting three at-bats a week, maybe. He needs to start playing in the minor leagues every day. It's time. It's time to make the move, whatever it's going to be. I don't think you're going to regret adding one more bat at this point. I've seen enough.
Tommy says move Campy to DH. Well, yeah, then Higgy's catching and also in the lineup, too.
I'd like to see Sullivan up, but again, his numbers in AAA are almost certainly a mirage and not sustainable on the big league level.
Yeah.
And he's not an everyday catcher either.
Correct.
Campusano is your everyday catcher. Correct. I would love for him to be able to DH on the days that he's not catching at least once in a while, but Campy's your catcher. Yeah. They need one more player.
They do.
All right, we'll come back. We got 2 hours still to go. Jesse Agler is going to be with us. We also are going to give away some Padres tickets to tomorrow's Manny Machado bobblehead giveaway game. Last game of the series against the Cubs. It is all coming up. Do not go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.